to come now and read from God's word.
First reading is from Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 12. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem. And makes the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. And our New Testament reading is from Luke 2, verses 1 to 21, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for their baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Thank you, Andrew Younger. Please, could you have your Bibles turned to Isaiah 62, and then we'll look at Luke chapter 2 as well. You have some outlines in your bulletin if you want to take notes. Let me just pray before we begin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word read. We thank you for this day that we can remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Help us to understand what his birth means to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone ever watch those beauty pageants on TV? Nobody?
Yeah.
Come on, no one's going to fess up, right? Has anyone ever watched Miss Congeniality?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's got beauty pageants in it. Can you remember what all the contestants ask for when they're interviewed?
World peace.
World peace, that's right. See, you did watch all that. Got caught out there. Wouldn't that be great, wouldn't it, to have peace in our lives? Well, here's an artistic impression of peace. What can you see? Waterfall, isn't it? Is waterfall peaceful? If you're sitting, let me explain it. Right there is a bird's nest. Would that be a peaceful place for a bird's nest? But the artist's impression is that the birds feel so at peace that resting in a nest there with its little chooks, that it's actually a good place to rest. And they're not afraid of the waterfall. They're in complete peace. So it doesn't matter what's going on around those birds, they're at peace. That's the artist's impression of what peace should be like in our lives. That brings us to our Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah that Heather read. And the context is that, pretty much like on Sunday, the context is that Israel are in exile in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, and it's 586 BC, a long time ago. And they're exiled in Babylon because of their continual disobedience and rebellion against God. And it's hardly a peaceful situation for them. They're in a foreign land, away from their homeland, and they're being ruled by a harsh foreign power. And they need rescuing. They need peace back in their lives. And through the prophet Isaiah, God promises a time is coming when they will be rescued and they will return to their homeland and peace will be restored for them. And this passage from Isaiah paints a picture of watchmen on the ruined walls of Jerusalem in verses 6 and 7. And they're watching day and night, waiting for God to act. And they're pestering God to act. And they're giving him no rest until he re-establishes Jerusalem again. And then God answers in verse 8 and 9. God promises that never again will Israel's enemies take their food or drink their wine. There's a time coming in verse 10 when all the people will pass through the city gates and return to Jerusalem. And this promise was actually fulfilled in 516 BC. 70 years after their exile, the people of Israel did return to their homeland. And as verse 12 says, Zion, the hill where Jerusalem is built. And that city will be called now sought after, the city no longer deserted. So God's keeping his promise and he's restoring peace to Israel. But in this passage, there's another fulfillment still to come. And it's in verse 11. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth, and he says, say to daughter Zion, so he's saying, say to Jerusalem, see your Savior comes, see his reward, which means his price is with him. And his recompense, his making amends, accompanies him. So a Saviour is coming. Isaiah wrote about this 700 or 800 years before Jesus came. And God promises a Saviour is coming, and he'll have his reward with him, and he'll have his recompense with him. His reward literally means he has a price to pay. And his recompense literally means he will make amends. God's promise came true 700, 800 years after Isaiah, when Jesus was born. Our Saviour was born. That's where our New Testament passage comes to, if you want to turn to Luke 2. In Luke chapter 2, we probably all know the story, but I've got a map there for you as well, just to see how it works. Mary and Joseph, they're engaged to be married, and they have to go to Joseph's hometown for a census and for taxation purposes. And Joseph's hometown is in Bethlehem. So they have to travel from Nazareth in the north and down to Bethlehem. It's about 130 k's, about 80 miles. Probably do about 20 miles a day if they're lucky. That's 4 days, perhaps a week to get there. And Mary's expecting a child. And we know from Matthew 1 and Luke 1 that the child is the Son of God, placed in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, and that Mary is a virgin. And so this is a miraculous birth. This child is from God. And she gives birth to the child in a stable. Well, the Bible doesn't actually say a stable. It could be a little cave, could be a little shed, because there was no room in the inn. And it's a humble birth. The baby is placed in a manger, which is an animal feeding trough. And this birth fulfills the prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, who tells us this promised Saviour will be born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And this child will grow up and be referred to as the bread that came down from heaven, the bread of life, the bread that gives eternal life. And an angel appears to a bunch of shepherds watching their sheep and declares this amazing news that today a Saviour has been born. And this baby is the Messiah, God's chosen one to save his people. Why did the angel appear to shepherds? After all, the shepherds in those days were outcasts. They were suspected of being thieves. They lay in the fields with their sheep for many days, so they were stinky and smelly, and they weren't popular. But the angel appeared to them first. And it shows that this Saviour is born for everyone, not just for the popular, not just for the elite. It also might have something to do with the fact that this child will grow up to be the good shepherd who looks after his sheep. And the birth is a cause for great celebration, so much so that a choir of heavenly angels, pretty much like St. David's choir, they sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." What is this peace that the angels are talking about? I'm just going to pause and show a video. Maybe we'll get a sense of what this piece is.
Thrones of high and high.
Jesus brings peace and reconciliation between God and humankind. But that peace was costly for Jesus. Remember what Isaiah said in verse 11. The Saviour would have his reward, his price, with him, and his recompense would accompany him. Jesus' price is to bring peace. Was his life given up on the cross for the sin of the world? That's what those soldiers remembered. His recompense, his making amends, was his making amends for our sin, taking our guilt and our punishment on his shoulders, on the cross, taking our punishment so we could have peace, so we could have forgiveness. That's what the soldiers remembered. This peace means that when God looks at those who believe in Jesus, God sees Jesus standing right in front of him. And so that's why Isaiah in verse 12 says, God can see us as his holy people because we're attached to Jesus. We're now holy. And God can see us as redeemed because we've been bought back to God. By Jesus paying for us to be brought back. So how will we respond to Jesus this morning on this Christmas morning? just a few observations from these two passages. First, we need to be like the watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. They were waiting for a rescue to materialize. And it says that these watchmen were told to give God no rest until the rescue was complete. We must give God no rest until everyone we know has been rescued by Jesus. We need to be praying for all those who don't know Jesus to come and believe in the only one who can save us from the punishment of sin. The only one who offers forgiveness of sins and restores that broken relationship. And the only one who offers us eternal life in heaven. Are we praying for this? Are we giving God no rest from our prayers for others? God can handle that. We also need to be like the shepherds. They say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And we need to be saying, let's go to God's word. Let's read and see and understand and meditate on his word and learn and believe what God has told us about himself and about his son and about living a life that pleases God. God has given us the gift of Jesus and he's given us his living word. To get close to him, we need to come to his word. The Bible is God's gift to us, which keeps on giving day after day after day. But maybe our Bibles are a bit dusty and they sit on the bookshelf until perhaps Christmas comes around. And then we pick up the Bible and we read two chapters from Luke and two chapters from Matthew, and then you put it back on the shelf till next Christmas. We need to be more like the people that I see walking around with their mobile phones, crossing the road and getting run over, or walking into lampposts. They can't leave their mobile phones alone. We need to be like that with our Bibles. Can't leave them alone. But don't cross the road while you're reading. Third, we need to be like the shepherds and spread the word. Go and tell everyone you meet. Today at church, we learnt about someone who stopped a war. He's that powerful. He's that awesome. He's that worthy of respect and honour. He actually stopped a war. And he brings peace to our hearts. And peace between God and humans. We need to be like Mary, Jesus' mother. She treasured everything she heard from the shepherds about her baby. Are we treasuring everything we've heard about Jesus and pondering it in our hearts? Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God's chosen Savior, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the light of the world that brings people out of darkness into the light. He's the bread of life that gives eternal life. He's the living water that wells up into eternal life. And so on and so on and so on. Jesus is our life and our life to come in heaven. We also need to realize that the Isaiah passage has a further fulfillment. A lot of prophecies in the Old Testament have multiple layers of fulfillment. Jesus, our Savior, will come again. Are we ready? Have we believed in him? Is he our Savior? Are we one of his holy people? Are we one of his redeemed? And have we shared Jesus with everyone we know? So they're ready when he comes back. Finally, we need to be like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God that he sent Jesus in the first place. We didn't deserve to be saved. We didn't earn it. But God's grace, his free gift on that first Christmas day, fulfills the promise the prophet made. See, your Savior comes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your promise to send the Savior. Thank you that you keep all your promises. Help us to think about our response this first Christmas Day, and not just to walk out the door now and get on with our parties or our present opening, and we just completely miss the response. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So we're going to join together as a choir of angels and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.